Log Talk Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's talk. Here we go. And your engineer for this afternoon's show. of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our program is designed to provide the listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. In this particular episode, we'll focus on developing leadership skills in children. Now, listeners are invited to bring questions to the lab. That's where share your parenting experiences. We look forward to hearing from you. So I'd like to open this show up tonight with our hosts, Mark Shaheed and Dr. Patricia Salyuddin. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak, Mark and Patricia.
Alaikum assalam and Ramadan Mubarak to you, Rashid Salam, and to you, Dr. Patricia Salyuddin, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed in the blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Salyuddin of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday evening. But this is a Ramadan special for all throughout the month of Ramadan. We moved up all our productions in the evening to late afternoon to accommodate all the believers that's primarily in the Eastern Standard Time Zone and Central Standard Time Zone to be able to break the fast on time, make the salat to Maghrib, and also enjoy the iftar with family, friends, and community members. So we need you to help get the word out that the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is still on IWDM radio, but it is at this time only in the month of Ramadan. We want to say to you that we really appreciate you joining us here, and we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And if you have any questions or comments on anything that Dr. Salyuddin and myself may say, we do ask that you press 1, and Rashid Salam, who's a very distinguished engineer, will alert us that you have your hand up in the air, and we'll come to you so that you can ask your question or make your comment. Dr. Salyuddin and myself, we are also aware that we have those who of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet. We would love for you to be a participant also. And so to be able to do that, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, please bring your notebook and your pencil or ink pen. You're going to need that, you know, for the learning lab, because I believe that some noteworthy things will be said. So once again, that call-in number, for those of you who listen by way of the Internet, you have a question or comment, you do have to dial into the studio. And the studio for IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. And we want you also to know that we have established a foundation for this learning lab, as well as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and they have the same foundation. We have three sources that we use in terms of disseminating information and education here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And the first source that we use is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation for all of humanity for all time. And that is the first source. And then the second source is the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the final revelation, the Quran. That's our second source. And our third source is the tafsir, which means clear explanation by scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad. Those are three sources that form the foundation for the information education that we will be disseminating tonight and consequently future productions as we have before in the past. Also, we also have staples that we have established. And just briefly, for those who are listening for the first time, we want you to know that we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, and we want to dismiss the misnomer and misconception and perception that this is the role and responsibility for the mothers only. No, it is the role and responsibility for both the mothers and the fathers to nurture and cultivate our children from infanthood to adulthood and these vital components that comprise the holistic human being. We also want you to know that the role and responsibility that we have as parents, and we should see ourselves as teachers and leaders, is that we have this role and responsibility of raising our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and then their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means that God willing, that if we consciously are regardful of our role and responsibility and obligation to our children, and we perform that role and responsibility, that we believe that there can and will be some world leaders that will emerge from this community. And also that we also have established that it is Almighty God, Allah, that He is the first teacher for all of His human creation. And He has given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. Now, this is a big role and assignment, but whatever it is that Allah has given to us as a responsibility, He's also given us the provisions. And so with that being said, we usually bring on our co-host and co-facilitator, for an overview, but we're going to bypass that for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to get into what I call the Ramadan special here on IWDN Radio, as we have for the last couple of years and even before that on the sister station AM 360, as we center this production around the blessed month of Ramadan. So for the next few weeks, you will be hearing how Ramadan can positively affect the reconstruction of the family life. And so for that, I'd like to bring on my very distinguished and esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Slahuddin. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak to you, Dr. Slahuddin.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Mark, and wa alaikum salam to everyone out radio listening audience. Ramadan Mubarak to you and to them. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastic. This is a blessed month, and I, like many others, yourself and others, have been looking forward to this visitor, really anticipating it, because we know that this is something that is prescribed for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, who is perfect and don't make mistakes nor errors. And so most certainly, if He has prescribed this as a prescription for us, it's much needed, and it will be a benefit to all of us. And also, I am so very, very happy to be here today and for our radio listeners to be with us today. You know, Dr. Salahuddin, we want to get right into the topic this evening in regards to how Ramadan can have a positive effect on reconstructing the family life. And actually, when we think about having an effect on reconstructing, when we look at the, say, this institution or this pillar, this is one of the five pillars when the Prophet Muhammad was asked by the angel Jibreel, what is Islam? What is al-Islam? And the Prophet answered, Buni al-Islam al-Hamza, Buni al-Islam al-Hamza, that the religion of al-Islam is built on five. And one of those five is Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. And we probably have heard the verse in terms of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, Ayat 183. About as much as we've heard that verse, you know, since the before the beginning of Ramadan and since the beginning, and many imams have used this to probably be their first khutbah using that verse. But, you know, when I look at that, where Allah says, O you who believe, so he's speaking to the believers that siyam, fasting, is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may learn self-restraint. And we know the Quranic Arabia there is tatakun. And Imam Muhammad said tatakun is a derivative from the word of taqwa, so that you may learn to be more consciously regardful of him, Allah. And really the self-restraint, the self-discipline, the self-management, the self-control, it becomes a byproduct of being more consciously regardful of God. So, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, so when we look at in terms of parenting and looking at being more consciously regardful of Allah, and that means that being more conscious, regardful of what God's word is, because while we are actually fasting in the month of Ramadan, there's another dynamic that is happening. We are actually reading the Quran, and the theme I've used for this is the fifth year, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And we should see it as that, because there's so many things that Allah is putting on the table that is feeding the mind, the intellect, but also feeding us in terms of our social order, also feeding us emotionally, and also feeding us also spiritually as spiritual beings. So much is there in terms of that. So looking at that from a parent perspective, how do you see, you know, how Ramadan is positively affecting us in terms of the state of mind that we're in now emotionally? You see believers that are fasting, and you don't see believers complaining about that. Seem like they're at an apex emotionally, also in terms of socially, how it is that seemingly it changes the whole dynamic in terms of wanting to be seemingly closer to the family, closer to the community, and also how it actually affects us spiritually. What's your take on that, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin?
Brother Mark, this is a fantastic topic. The positive impact of the possible positive effect of Ramadan. When Ramadan, we're so excited to see Ramadan, and when we see it we just want to really get every benefit that it has to offer. So you have us, we tend to be on our best behavior, right? And so that's number one. We want to be on our best behavior, and we strive to be on our best behavior during the month of Ramadan. There's so many benefits of that Ramadan brings us, and it gives us an opportunity to reset, restart, you know, because sometimes, you know, we have to admit we get off course, and Ramadan is that opportunity to get back on course, and it's an opportunity for our family to get back on course and for the is there any kind of deconstructions that have taken place in the family? Here's an opportunity to reset and to rethink all of this. And one of the things, as far as the parent and the child is concerned, I would like to say that we want to take this opportunity to make sure that we have in our conversation with our children that we are helping them to understand what Ramadan really is, and for them to start benefiting from Ramadan as well. And one of the things is having them to understand that Ramadan is more than just not eating. We don't want them to fall into that pattern of thinking that Ramadan is we just don't eat any food during this time period when the sun is up. So we want them to get a clear understanding of what Ramadan is. Mm-hmm. And it was the time, and of course, helping them to see that this is the time that Allah sent down the revelation. That's the important part of this our Ramadan observation, is that this is the time when we got our instructions, our guidance from Allah, and it was during the month of Ramadan when Prophet Muhammad received the first revelation that he got. So here we have that is important for the children to know. So now if that's what we're celebrating, that's what we're commemorating. So that means that we need to read those instructions and that guidance that was given to us. So, of course, during that time, we are reading the Quran. So our children, we need to encourage them, design it where they are reading, structure it where they can read or are reading, whether we do it as a family, whether we do it as an individual. That, of course, based on the child's age, that will make a difference how we do that. But we need to set it up where the children are reading. If the children are really, really young, we read to them. And, of course, we can't expect them to read. We can read a whole juice to them and they listen. But we can do as much as we can, as much as they can take it based on their age. So the first thing we want to do is help them to understand what Ramadan really is and why we're commemorating it. And it is more than just not eating. It's more than refraining from eating and drinking during the daylight hours. So that's number one. So that's one of the things I wanted to share. Some other things too, but I'll stop there.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's alhamdulillah. No, it's excellent. And that's good for starters because oftentimes we have adult Muslims and they seem to put more emphasis on the self-restraint or, if you will, self-control in terms of, abstaining from food and drinking and even the lawful spouses and having conjugal relations. And all these are the parameters that actually are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who is perfect in all, because this does have an impact on the individual in terms of being willing, obedient to those instructions that God is giving. But also simultaneously, as you so eloquently articulated, is that this is a blessed month. It's a blessed month, not because of the fast. It's the blessed month because this is the month, the ninth month. And, you know, nine is very significant in scriptural language. Nine represents birth, new life. It represents new life. It represents birth. And so it would be that it would be in the ninth month of the lunar calendar, which we say is the Hijra calendar for us, in terms of this replicating birth, but a rebirth, and it should be taking us back to the Fitra, our original nature, which is innocence, which is purity. Very, very important. And, you know, I want to just say this, is that there's some qualities that I think, you know, Dr. Slaudine, when we look at parenting, and like you say, over the course of the year, maybe we have not perhaps been as consciously aware in terms of our role and responsibility to our children, but being consciously regardful of Allah as his tatakun, being in terms of taqwa, it actually helps to reshape. See, everything is reshape the type of character that Allah wants us to have, even as a parent. We'll find ourselves being even more patient with our children, whereas maybe other times we may be a little irritable, maybe because we feel that we are overwhelmed with the day's activities or what, and become a little brash with our children and everything. But now, being in this blessed month of Ramadan, it makes us consciously aware of how we communicate with our children. Our voice is softer, it's kinder. It also commands that we're a little bit more patient. We're even more compassionate, as we, you know, it is said that the first 10 days is that of mercy. And so now we're more conscious, regardful of our children in terms of how we communicate with them, because oftentimes, as my mother used to say, you all get on my nerves. This might sound funny. She said, you get on my nerves so much, you make my big toe jump right dead in the middle. I don't know what that was, you know, in regards to that. But I'm quite sure that at some point parents and particularly mothers may have felt like that at some point in time. But this blessed month of Ramadan, it brings a calm to you in that I want to keep my fast. I want to be obedient to my Lord and Creator. So everything is on fast. Even our mouth, in terms of the words that we use, the language that we use, and what it is that we say, Dr. Slaudine? Right.
Definitely. I'm happy that you brought it up about the being on, everything is on fast, you know, and then bringing the calmness. That's definitely one of the things. You kind of feel, you don't want to jump about and you don't want to yell. You just don't want to do that. You don't have that in you. One of the things that I think the parents can do is discuss the amazing changes that the body experienced while during this time period. You know, during this time period, the older child would have this discussion with the older child. But and I think you can do some activities with the younger children to bring home this point. And that is, this the actual fasting brings about some physical benefits. The scientists have discovered that the body gains tremendous benefits from fasting, such as cleansing and repairing damaged cells, increasing brain cells, increasing our metabolism. It cleans out the intestines. I mean, there's a whole lot of things for you. And I was thinking that if our parents would have this conversation with their children, it could become a science project, you know, where the older children, when you ask them to go, you talk about it, and then they may become curious, and they may look it up. They may go and do some research on it to see, because it's there. All you have to do is Google it, the benefits of Ramadan, and it'll come up, and the children can actually read it and see this is not necessarily coming from the – actually, when you talk about the benefits, if you could Google the benefits of fasting, you would get a list of things that the body goes through, the list of benefits. And these benefits are not necessarily coming from Muslims. They're coming from the non-Muslim world, from people who studied. In fact, now we hear doctors say that when you do intermittent fasting, you should do intermittent fasting. Now people are talking about that. These are non-Muslims. So Allah is the creator of the human being. He tells us exactly what we need to do. It's there in the Quran. It's not like he's just telling Muslims. This is information, as he tells us in the Quran. This is information that was given to those before you.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not the only ones that were told to fast. The human being, whether he's Christian or Jewish or Muslim, he's told to fast by the Creator.
That's right.
So this is something that that Allah made us. He knows what we need to do, and so he tells us to fast. Once we start studying the benefits of fasting, we can see that this is helping our body. It is getting rid of toxins in the body. So just to share this information with our children, I'll help them to learn or just to discover this on their own through our guidance, of course. This will open up their eyes, and inshallah, it will bring them closer or help them to connect more to their Creator. I think just doing something like this with your children, an activity with them that to help them to make this discovery will be an opportunity for them to make that connection. Not only is it a physical thing in terms of knowing what the body goes through, but here the children will make a spiritual connection to their Creator. So I think that having that information would be great for them.
No, alhamdulillah. No, that's a very, very a valid point that you actually are making when we start talking about, Ramadan having positive effect on us, but also in terms of the family life just in general. And, of course, Dr. Salahuddin, I think it should be added when you gave the excellent comment in terms of it being a project for our children. This is age sensitive, and of course, with our children at various ages and what age and stage where they actually are in their life. And, in terms of the health benefits of actually fasting in the month of Ramadan, so that we see that there are great, great benefits. And, of course, you just mentioned one in terms of that. But I think that one of the things that you said early on is very valuable in terms of, that this is what our Creator asked us to do, asks us to do, and that we're going to be the beneficiaries of actually doing it. Depending on the age and the stage of our children, we'll find that our children are great imitators. They actually imitate whatever it is that they actually see us do. So for our young children, Dr. Shalom Dean, we've all experienced it, you know, being parents or even grandparents, and grandparents can have a great effect on our children when they're with us, and they see or watch us pray, and they'll come and they'll just mimic what it is we do. And if we say to them, they might say, Mommy or Nana, you're not eating anything. You're not drinking anything. And so then this opens up a conversation for them. I mean, if they're so astute to know this, or you say to them that I'm fasting, now their little minds begin to start to work. They're curious. Why are you fasting? Now this opens up for a conversation. This becomes what we call a teachable moment. And we have to really be cognizant of the age and the stage where they are to make sure that we give them something that is digestible. What I mean by digestible is that it's very understandable to them. And so if we do, what will happen, generally will happen, they will say, well, Nana or Pawpaw, I want to fast too. Can I fast? You know, generally sometimes you'll get that response, okay, from my children. So then at that point we said, well, of course you can fast, you know, and you can do as much as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to go as long as myself, but they might say, but yes, I can. I believe I can. Well, okay, you try and go as long as you can, but if you get hungry, really, 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 really hungry, or you get really, really thirsty, then you can break your fast. Okay, so age sensitive, I think, is very, very important, because oftentimes our children will have a desire to mimic us to do what it is that we do. And I think that this bodes well for future years, you know, getting accustomed to the fact that fasting in the month of Ramadan is coming around every year. And so sometimes children, they don't forget. They'll ask, especially after the fast culminates with a feast, a joyous occasion for them where they might get gifts and toys or maybe money or what, they'll be like, when is Ramadan coming again? Is it going to be next month? Depending on how old they are. You know, you can just see, hopefully I'm trying to paint a picture of maybe a 4 or 5 year old asking those type of questions and everything. And so it will most certainly leave a great impression upon them. So we have to be, as parents, very conscious of our children's age and what it is that we say to them and how we say it to them, and always be encouraging to them. I want to say that if you just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Yes, I did make a mistake. We are on a Ramadan schedule here on IWDM Radio. And if you've been tuned in and listening in, you listen to Dr. Patricia Slaudine and Mark Shahid as we will be taking on this theme for throughout the month of Ramadan on this early times schedule that we have here on IWDM Radio, the positive effect that Ramadan will have on reconstructing of family life. And we do invite you to press 1 if you have a question or comment on anything Dr. Slaudine or myself may say. or if some of the things that we're saying is resonating with you, then maybe some things that just like Dr. Slaudine brought up in terms of how this can impact your physical health. And this is information that even adults don't really know. This is some of the benefits. I mean, we're not doing it for that. We have to always keep in mind, you understand, the reason and the purpose for it, because only the one that gives the prescription, you understand, gives us the purpose for fasting this blessed month. But there are benefits that come along with it, and this is what you're going to be hearing for the next few weeks here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who listen in by way of the Internet, Dr. Slaudine and myself, we would love to hear from you too. So for you to be a participant, you do have to dial in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. And all you have to do is just press 1, and Rashid Salam will inform us that you have your hand in the air. So at this point, before we go back to you, Dr. Slaudine, for you to give us some more insight here, Rashid Salam, are there any of our callers with their hands in the air at this point, or are they still just in listening mode?
They're in Ramadan mode, I like to say.
They're in Ramadan mode, okay. Well, that don't mean they're in Ramadan mode, they can't talk now, so Allah is merciful. He'll say that you should limit your conversation, you know, or he doesn't ask us not to ask questions or to be a participant. Matter of fact, I think that in the blessed month of Ramadan, you hear more conversation, you get more communication, and you extrapolate more information and education, because it's not only in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan, but it's also feasting on the Quran. I got to emphasize that when you're feeding on the Quran, oh, my God, you have so much that's coming to you, and you have maybe quite a few questions, but you may be gaining information and education that you didn't have before, because this may be your umpteenth time reading the Quran, and just this time you noticed something that you hadn't noticed before. So it doesn't limit communication. Matter of fact, it might increase communication. So just want to say that.
Yes,
so Rashid, I mean, do you have anything that you'd like to, we want to get you in on this a little bit too, in terms of what do you see as anything that's positive that Ramadan brings to family life?
You know, what I saw and what I'm experiencing, not just what I saw during this particular time period, is my granddaughter, who said she was 6 years old, and last week she wanted she wanted to wear hijab, you know. So the exposure of Ramadan and what's taking place in her life. But I did want to say this one thing, and I think Sister Patricia, Dr. Slaudine said it best. What this does, it creates an environment in the family and in the household that's so educational. You know, I got to get to the education piece. You know that, Mark. But you know, when you start talking about Ramadan and the body and the fasting, you know, then our children really begin to inquire, what do you mean? But this is a great moment to talk about them being a scientific individual or a mathematical individual, and what we're doing with the cells, and you're creating this environment to teach from, you know, so that science, the education that goes into discussions that you have with your children, what fasting is, the reason you fast, why you fast, how it ties into the educational system, how it ties into economics in our household, how it ties into our cultural identity, as well as our political aspects of civic and social responsibilities and so forth and so on, because you're supposed to go out and feed the hungry. So all those four birds are included into this Ramadan fast, and that's what I've experienced in this month. But the communication lines are wide open. What a month to ask questions.
Alhamdulillah. That's an excellent point.
Go ahead,
Dr. Slaudine.
We I'm happy that Brother Rashid brought up the point about the education, because you know, he touched on my point. He touched on my area of love too, my passionate area, education. So yeah, you're right. And then you know the not only the academic part of it, but the spiritual part of it. The spiritual part of it can be educational as well. You know, we talk about, I mentioned the physical, but, and I wanted to also share something about the spiritual. Now, here's an opportunity for parents to discuss obedience and disobedience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
here we have the parent, in your spiritual sense, Allah has given us the Quran as our guidance. And when we follow that, we're being obedient to him. When we don't follow that, we're being disobedient. And the same thing happens in the household with the children, child and parent relationship. When the child, the parents, there are rules in the house. There are things that we're supposed to do or things that we're supposed not, that we don't, that we're not supposed to do. Well, when the children are doing those things, they're being obedient. But when they're not doing it, they're being disobedient. But the children are children, and they're going to be disobedient at times. So we, what we do, we can do during the month of Ramadan is have that discussion about what is obedience, what is not, and why do Allah have us to read the Quran, and that is, of course, we need to know what the guidance of the Quran wants us to do, what Allah wants us to do, and it's in the Quran. And then what are the things that we have, what are the rules that we have in our house, what are the things that we do, and then, of course, we can discuss with our children what kind of things, if they want to become more obedient, you know, if they want to do, if there's some things that, some rules that we have that you tend to be reminded of more frequently, you know, and so if you can identify, if the child identifies those rules and ask the child, would you like to improve that? And if there's a yes for that, and then, okay, well, how can we do that? And so now we have an opportunity to teach them how to plan and how to set goals and how to achieve those goals. So you set the goal, identify what rule that the child thinks that he or she needs to improve on, and then you help them to develop strategies of getting that done. Like, for instance, if it's cleaning, if you have to be reminded to clean your room. Well, as a Muslim, you should be, you know, clean. You should take care of your area, that your space that you live in. So you want to clean your room. You want to do that, be more conscious of getting that clean, or getting it clean. So, okay, what are we going to have to do? So you make a list of things that you have to do, the child will have to do. The child makes the list, not the parent making the list. You want to make that clear. The child makes the list. And then you actually that's your strategy, your plan, your strategy of achieving your goal. And then of course you teach the child. Then now you have to make dua. You have to ask Allah to help you to carry out these strategies. And this is emphasizing the importance of dua. And that's what we do. We do more duas during the month of Ramadan because Allah asks us tells us if you want. We want help. You want us to. You want me to help you. Just ask. So we teach our children to do that as well. And then after they learn the duas, and then of course we remind them that this. You say it frequently, especially when you find that you're not keeping up, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Then you ask Allah to help you because He's there to help us. And then
you do have three. Good.
Yes. Go on.
I was just saying you do have a hand raised, so.
Oh, no. Okay, good. No, Dr. Saladin, yes. Okay, thank you, Rashid. We'll ask the call to be just patient, so we want Dr. Saladin finish up, you know, her a statement, if you would, please.
Okay. So yeah, you do that, and then you you asked us to, you realized also, Mark, getting back to one of the points that you've made about the idea, the instruction, the demonstration, et cetera. We're going to go to the evaluation part, the assessment. Make an assessment. So you want to have set up checkpoints with the child to say, okay, at this, you know, check on their progress. If there's something they've been, you know, sometimes children are not very nice to their siblings. So if this is something that the child wants to improve his behavior toward his sibling, and he can do some checkpoints. Okay, what did you do today that was good for your, you know, that was toward your goal to being nice to your brother or your sister, and you know, make some checkpoints, and then you know, keep practicing, helping them to practice the things they want to do. So those are the areas that I
want to cover. No, that's very well said, and I think that's something that we need to take in consideration during the month of Ramadan, how we can help our children in terms of, you know, being more obedient to rules and regulations and getting some things done, and that increases them in terms of obedience. So thank you so much for that. And Rashid Salam, let's go to our caller. They have their hand raised to see what they have on their mind.
We have 773-449. Your mic is open.
How come they tell Ramadan Mubarak? It's
Ramadan
Mubarak. Oh, this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. You know, I covered probably some of the things that I wanted to say, but I just, as I was listening, realizing that this kind of conversation for the children sets a foundation for them in developing their character. And like my husband said, for the social, the spiritual, and emotional, you know. And we should never underestimate our children in reference to what they're open to receiving, you know. We just have to be the example, you know. We just have to be the one that put the communication forth, and God will bless them. You know, because they're not so feel like we are, you know, by so many influences. So they real susceptible to learn. So we be a good example for them, you know. And Allah has made them so close to their natural nature that they can receive sometimes better than we can as adults. You know, we just have to be able to structure the communication, structure the environment for them to grow and to thrive in. But this is so wonderful. I always enjoy listening to these type of conversations, even beyond Ramadan, because I'm learning as an adult, you know, and then I can implement to my children. I grow on, but, you know, still there's a word that can still be, you know, fed to the mind, and as well as my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. So I'm so thankful for him. You know, for a privilege like this, and may Allah continue to bless you once again. I'm like him in Ramadan Mubarak.
Look like we lost Ramadan Mubarak to you, to Samira. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for those comments. It looked like we got lost somewhere. We lost our announcer here, our host. Thank you so much for that comment. And I really like the point you made about develop the child's character. That is so so important. And then one of the things that the parent could do is identify the character traits that they feel that their child needs to improve, and probably encourage the child to work to develop that trait during the month of Ramadan. And if we're practicing, here's the month of Ramadan is the time to practice these traits that we want to, or these habits that we want to form. And the social scientist tells us that we have, it takes 25 days or 25, time to do something. And here Allah gives us 30 days to practice in developing our, to develop any kind of a good habit that we want to develop. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for sharing that with us. What happened? The sound went off?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we hear you now. Oh, we thought we lost you.
I did put myself on mute because I had a little noise in my background and everything. And had a little slight coughing. I didn't want you all to hear me coughing. But, no, I was just saying that the comments that you were making, and Rashid, and also Amira. You know, it's I think that we really gonna have to get into, if not this week, but maybe next week, to begin to look at the culture, the culture, how Ramadan affects the culture in the family life, in all, as she brought up about in terms of the character. You know, this is a rebirth. It is a rebirth for everything, and it's a reset, a restart. I've been hearing so many reads, Dr. Patricia Slow, Dean, as, you know, as a community, we can see that we're really growing and we're really developing and maturing in terms of how we ought to see this blessed month of Ramadan. And as you stated earlier, it's not just only about, you know, restraining ourselves from food, drink, and conjugal relationships with your lawful spouse. It's not just about that, and it should never be reduced to that. It's a blessed month because this is the month in which the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, which is guidance. It was guidance for him. It was guidance for those that was there in his time, but it's guidance for us, and it's the guidance for all of humanity for the rest of time. This is no small thing. This is a really a big, big thing, but it is also the criteria. It is the furqan, the criteria in terms of being able to distinguish between right and wrong. And you know, we want to, when we look at the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we want to look at the culture of the household, as that culture should reflect that Ramadan is here. There's a beautiful song I know many may have heard, Ramadan is here. And of course, my good sister and friend that resides on the East Coast, that's Sawa El Amin, one of the outstanding vocalists in the community of Imam Deputy Muhammad. She has an excellent version of Ramadan is here. And there's others in terms of Ramadan is here. Nada Dean has something. And I myself, just last night, I mean, one of my daughters bought me a AI, and I've been using it. And so I decided, I said, you know, I'm just going to relax for a little bit. I hadn't played any music, you know, because, you know, being conscious, regardful of Allah, you don't listen to certain things. You don't look at certain things. You don't want to experience certain things. And you don't want the spirit of certain things. And you don't want to be in touch with certain things during this blessed month. Now, I just said to you, I covered all the five senses there. And so it hit me and said, you know what? Ask Alexa to play some Nada Dean. Oh, boy, what beautiful, beautiful music that Nada Dean have. And so, you know, Ramadan is here. And so the culture in the family life, you know, it should reflect that. And the time that we spend not only in Ramadan, but with our family and how it brings us closer and closer together. You're more conscious or regardful of those things that sometimes, oh, go ahead and just have dinner without me. You know, I'm going to be blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, there's instructions in terms of when we are to break the fast. And if we have other members in the family that are fasting with you, or if you have a spouse that you're fasting together, to be able to break that fast and to partake in the suhoor, early morning, and all of these things, they may seem insignificant, but they're very, very significant. As we talk about this on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, our first session with Quran Shakir, in terms of how Ramadan actually affects courtship and marriage, you know, what kind of positive effects it can actually have in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. So we'll be talking more about the culture that should be established in this blessed month of Ramadan. So, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, I want to give you opportunity, anything else that comes to mind in terms of something that is positive in terms of just looking from this perspective this week in terms of the parents' relationship with their children, as Amira brought up, in terms of character formation. You brought up and Rashid in terms of the educational piece, in terms of physically, in terms of the physical benefits, but also educational. You know, let me say this, in today's Jews, and I know I have a brother, you know, years ago, now he's been Muslim for a long time, but it hit him years ago. He said, "Allahu Akbar." He said, "Not a leaf falls." This was in the days of Jews. "Not a leaf falls without Allah knowing it." And so he was young, you know, in the religion and began to read the Quran. And this was very amazing. But, you know, if we, reading the Quran, even if our children are not old enough to read, but we're reading to them, and, you know, there's an ayat, or ayats, that's saying what Allah does in terms of the creation, that he's al-alim, he's the all-knowing, he's al-hakim, he's all-wise, al-basir, he's all-seeing. So that might become a question for our children, Dr. Salahuddin. You mean tell me that Allah, God, knows every leaf? Not a leaf can fall? He knows it? How so, Nana? How should we respond, Dr. Salahuddin? That could be a question, you understand, that our children could ask it, and that's a very valid question. This is an excellent opportunity for education, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you know, sometimes you can answer a question with a question, you know, help the children, to, you know, instead of, you know, well, you know, this happened and this happened. No, you know, okay, if you have, when you own something or you make something, how do you know things about it? How do you know things about what you make and what you own and what you have? Do you know what's in your room? You know,
There you go.
So you have to ask questions. So you don't want to give them answers.
You don't want to give the answers. There you go.
Yeah. You want them to, because now we have to develop that brain so they can start thinking. So you answer a question by asking a question.
You know, I like the way you're responding to this because, you know, here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, I've said numerous times that that should be in our treasure chest. You know, asking thought-provoking questions. And so you just said this. You don't want to give your children all the answers. You want to challenge them. And the way you challenge your children is by asking them a question, you see? So when they say Nana or Papa, or they say Mommy, Daddy, you said you just read in the Quran, not a leaf falls, that God doesn't know? How could that be? You know, well, there's probably some Muslims that are listening. And they may be waiting for me to give them the answer or for Dr. Salon Dean to give them the answer. But I think I like what you said in that you asked the question in terms of what it is that they have in their immediate environment. That if that language sounds familiar, you know, in terms of teaching our children, we just a couple of weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know which, in terms of one of the ways we teach our children by examples in our in their immediate environment. You remember that topic, Dr. Odin? So this is one of these teachable moments in terms of what it is that they have been entrusted with as a trustee, or as you say, you know, to be the owner of or whatever, in terms of looking at that and then coming to a conclusion as to how it is that Allah knows every leaf that falls. Now, a leaf can fall without him knowing it, you see. Challenging the mind, the intellect, this brings about a maturation in the thinking ability of our children. You know, we want them to be able to think. And so, you know, reading the Quran actually brings about thinking. And Allah says in many places in the Quran, in that are signs for those who reflect. Mm-hmm. You know, so reflecting is actually thinking, reflecting on what God has said in the Quran. You see, so right. We need to give our children every opportunity to come to a logical conclusion.
Right.
And we do that by asking questions and by using examples in their immediate environment. Their immediate environment. Oh boy, it feels so good when they ask the question and then you help to navigate them through in terms of being able to answer the question that they ask. Mm-hmm. See, that's a beautiful thing because in Islamic education, as parents, we are to cultivate education. Root meaning there is education is cultivation. Cultivation mm-hmm. and also stimulation, you see, to produce answers and solutions and all. This is very important when we make a distinction between the secular and also Islamic education. There's a big, big difference. And so we don't want to give the answer all the time and just think for our children to think they just come to us to get the answer to this, to that, or what. So this is a part of the nurturing and the cultivation. Dr. Slaudine, any comments you'd like to make on that?
I can't do any better than that, Mark. That's alhamdulillah. You did it well.
Alhamdulillah.
You took care of that answer, alhamdulillah. Look forward to seeing
everyone
next week.
Yes, ma'am. So, yes, we're right at the top of the hour and maybe going over a few minutes and all. But, you know, this is I call our introductory learning lab on this thing in terms of how Ramadan can positively affect reconstructing the family life. And we've touched on a variety of things in this introductory, but we're going to look at next week. We want to look at the culture. We want to look at the culture. How is a different culture, or it should be a different culture, if it's a Muslim household in all, in terms of the family life, how it can help to reconstruct, in many cases, destructive family life. So we want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in at this special time. And Dr. Slaudine and myself, we need you to help get the word out to your family, to your friends, associates, neighbors, community members, you know, put it in your announcements, your secretary or maybe your resident imam. Like some imams, they give out information in the second half of the khutbah, cooked by and all to get the information out. We would greatly appreciate that. Let them know that we're on the Ramadan schedule and all to tune in and listen in. This should be a point of interest to all Muslims and Muslim families. And we want you also to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as Thursday will be the Sister Learning Lab. That's tomorrow. That will be with a very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Karan Shakir. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the same special time as we have today. It'll be 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And it would also be centered around the positive effects that Ramadan can have on courtship and the sacred institution of marriage. So you don't want to miss that. So please tune in for that. Friday is Salatul Jummah Day here on Muslim Worldwide. And if you're immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with email. Mikhail Sahir of Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It begins here on IWDM Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM Radio, the longest-running production on IWDM Radio, once again with the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People. It comes on each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. One of our new productions, the very distinguished and esteemed Imam, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts ABC. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. It happens each and every Monday. His production starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Monday. So please tune in. This is a new production. Let's tune in, listen in, and join him in Al-Islam-based conversation. I know he will appreciate that. And on Tuesday, the very distinguished, esteemed host, along with his reoccurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, they host an outstanding learning lab, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You have to bring your pen and paper, pencil and paper for this learning lab. It happens each and every Tuesday, and they also on the Ramadan schedule. It happens each and every Tuesday in the month of Ramadan, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 p.m. Central, and it's 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with the very distinguished Rashid Salam, who's also a distinguished engineer here tonight, this evening, here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we did skip over the MGM Roundtable, but it's still alive and well. We just moved it to Saturday. Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And the theme, this is the fifth year in a row, the theme that I've used for the last 4 years, this is the fifth year, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran, as we have very distinguished and esteemed persons from our community, outstanding intellects, and we have one of the scholarly imams in the association, Imam Muhammad, with us last week, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, and we have another very distinguished guest that will be joining us, and we're going to keep it a secret. You just have to tune in and see who that guest is going to be. And I will be dialoguing with them on that very thing for the rest of the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Once again, 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. We also want you to remember the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. Make sure you keep your subscription, which that can be a prescription.
I just want to ask a question.
Now we have an opportunity to get more barakat, as everything is amplified and multiplied.
And despair.
And so you can afford to get a subscription Please. With that being said,
there'll come a
until
time.
Next time,
there'll come a time.
Salam.
When the world
is for you and yours. Godspeed be
when
with
the
you.
World won't
and salam
alaikum. Flowers won't grow.
All right.
Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
A bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies.
Yes. Yes, save the babies. That's our responsibility. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah, that's all, folks.